This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue working our way through Psalm 119 with great spoil and a lost sheep. And then we move to Psalm 120 through 122 with I am for peace, he who keeps Israel, and I was glad. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 28. In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, may the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What was the problem? Hananiah just wanted to give the people a little comfort, right? After all, the people of Jerusalem had already been conquered by Babylon. The people were devastated. Their family had been taken into exile. Their land destroyed. And if Hananiah were to keep on preaching destruction and death to this grieving remnant of Judah, why, the people, they might give in to despair. They might stop listening. They might turn away from the Lord altogether. Surely the people needed to hear a little bit of comfort and hope, right? Wrong. On the surface, Hananiah's words certainly sounded comforting and even hopeful. But that message of so-called comfort was a lie. Hananiah promised that the exile to Babylon would end within 2 years. But just a few chapters earlier in Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah clearly prophesied that the exile to Babylon would last 70 years. Hananiah's words sounded hopeful, but it was a false hope. Hananiah's words sounded comforting, but it was an empty comfort. And the worst part of Hananiah's message of false comfort is that it kept the people of Judah from feeling the full weight of the terror of God's judgment against their sins. By his false preaching, Hananiah prevented his listeners from hearing the full terror of the curse that Moses had pronounced in Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses prophesied that Israel would one day succumb to idolatry, turn away in unbelief, and that God would bring upon them the curses of the law, which included being conquered by a foreign nation and being brought into exile. Hananiah's preaching was false because he hid from the eyes of the people the full terror of this curse of the law. As the book of Jeremiah continues, we see what happens when people do not feel the full weight of the terror of the law's curse. Judah kept on sinning. But because of false prophecies, like the false message that Hananiah preached, Judah was actually further hardened in their unbelief and sin. It's not hard to see what this looks like in our context as Christians. It's precisely what Jesus addressed at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when he said that he who relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, when you are preaching the scriptures, you must call sin, sin, and you must let the law have its full effect. Do not tell yourself that if you preach the law with its full weight, people will just leave, they'll turn away, they might fall into despair. No, whether people refuse to hear or not, that's in God's hands. But if you do not preach the law with its full weight, you are guaranteed to produce people like those in Judah, who even after suffering so much had not yet been brought to true repentance. They were still hardened, further hardened in their unbelief, because their preacher hid from their eyes the full weight of the law and its curse. And it's easy to see how this applies to that church over there, and that pastor over there, maybe even that synod over there, that have given in to the sins that are popular in our culture today. It's easy to see how this applies to false preachers who in God's name tell people that sexual immorality is acceptable in God's eyes and so forth. These false preachers like Hananiah tell people that God isn't going to judge them. He's not going to really bring the full weight of the law, even though he is. That's the easy application. The hard application is what Jesus goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. After all, Hananiah was preaching in the name of the Lord against those wicked Babylonians over there, those idolaters. Obviously, we're the good people. We're the ones. See, I'm even a true prophet preaching in the name of the Lord, not like all those idolatrous prophets. He sounds so righteous. But there is another way that people who love the scriptures and preach in the name of the Lord can sell the law short. Some people blatantly deny the law, but you also sell the law short when you refuse to apply it to yourself. The law doesn't merely speak to that guy who condones sin openly. The law also applies to you and to me whenever we think that we have done enough. Whenever you think you have actually kept God's law so well that the curse has no more claim on you. When you hear the law and say, "That's okay, I'm keeping that one pretty well." You have become a Hananiah to yourself. Because no matter how well you may seem to be keeping the law, and no matter how well the Spirit, by His grace, has enabled you to bear good fruit, which is indeed not contrary to the law, yet if you can hear the law without hearing any rebuke to yourself, you are refusing, even now, to hear the full weight of the curse. The law is holy and good, and because you've been baptized into Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Holy Spirit are never contrary to the law. And so because you've been forgiven your sins and have the Holy Spirit, you can rejoice in the goodness of the law itself. But as long as you and I live in this mortal flesh, the law will still come with its curse and rebuke, and only a Pharisee blinded to his sin can hear the law and say, "Yeah, that sounds like I'm doing pretty well." Anyone who tries to derive comfort in this life from the law, therefore, is really just embracing the false comfort of Hananiah, who sells the law short by refusing to let people hear the full terror of the curse. But there is true comfort, which Jeremiah goes on to say. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet. Jeremiah is speaking about Christ. False prophets like Hananiah preach a weakened, a diluted law that offers a false comfort and a false hope and a false peace. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the true prophet who prophesies a true peace to you. Jesus does not need to sell short the law in order to offer you comfort. Jesus lets the law remain in its full strength, piercing, crushing, destroying, even as he preaches it in the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason Jesus is able to preach the law and its curse at full strength with its piercing and crushing and destroying is because he took the piercing and crushing and destroying of the law on himself on the cross. Jesus, you realize, did not even let his cup of sour wine be diluted with that narcotic to dull the pain of the curse. He wanted you to know that he felt the full terror of the law, unhindered by any false comfort, so that you who have been baptized and who believe in Christ can know that the full weight of the law has been fulfilled. The curse has been dealt out, and there is no more curse for you. And now, therefore, Jesus, because he has done this, can preach to you a better peace than the peace of Hananiah, a better peace than the false comfort of pastors who condone your sins and coddle you in your wickedness, but also a better peace than the Pharisees who try to salve your conscience by telling you that you've done enough. Jesus gives you a better peace, a true peace that passes all understanding. And therefore, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God,
bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow it. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, protect the tempted, the distressed, the erring, and gently guide them. By your great goodness, bring them into the way of peace and truth. Graciously regard all who are in trouble, danger, temptation, or bondage to sin, and those to whom death draws near. In your mercy, draw them to yourself, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul.
Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us,